So the scripture lesson today is from Hebrews. It's chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. Then we'll start over again at 19 through 25. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take sins away. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies could be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sacrificed. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So I titled this, What Jesus Means for Us, but it's really about encouragement, how we are encouraged, how we can encourage others. And so in this scripture, the first thing he starts talking about is you had this history in the Jewish community of sacrifices. And it wasn't only in the Jewish community, but in the religions around them, they had sacrifices of different sorts. So some were animal sacrifices, some were food sacrifices. But it's showing that difference between those sacrifices and what Jesus Christ did for us. And so it stresses this importance of Jesus. This wasn't a sacrifice that you had to go and make at the temple every day. It wasn't something you had to do at your home. It was this one-time sacrifice for all of us, and it was forever. It didn't have to be repeated, and it couldn't be repeated. There was no need for that to happen. And so it shows us this joy that we should have in Jesus, to be thankful for what he does each and every day in our lives. Now, we live in a time where it's hard, if you read and watch stuff, to be joyful because we don't talk about the good stuff. We talk about plane crashed, car crash, something happened. It's not the good things that we see in the world and in people's lives. But what it shows us is this final triumph of Jesus, not only over death, but of all those things evil in the world. And so Jesus is the living presence of God that's around us all the time. So when it talked about the veil of the temple, which I've always sort of had a hard time, it really, so let me explain. So in Jewish times, no one could enter the temple but the chief priest. And it was thought that if you did, you were going to die because you were going to be in the presence of God. So when you went in there, they tied a rope around you and you had to wear bells around the around your robe. So that way then you were walking in there. And if they didn't hear you for a while, they assumed that you had done something that upset God. He killed you. And that's why they tied a rope around you so they could drag your body out so they didn't have to go in there because the same thing would happen to them because that was where God was located. Well, that tearing of that curtain, and we read about it several places in Scripture, really shows that that separation ended, and it ended with Jesus, that he is our way to God. He's that intermediary. So Jesus is the high priest over God's house. He shows us the way. Whether we follow or not is a different thing, but he shows us the way, and he introduces us to the presence of God. So it's unlikely that we're going to get there on our own. And whether we recognize it or not, Jesus is involved in that. And Jesus is the one person who has the ability to cleanse our hearts and our souls. So we could go have the biggest sacrifice of a calf. We could sacrifice doves because we read about that. We could have a food sacrifice. It isn't going to change our hearts and souls. It's about Jesus Christ, for us to let him in our lives so he can make a difference. And so how do we approach God? Well, the question is, we need to become closer and closer to Jesus. One of the ways that we do that is through worship. Now, traditionally, worship has been, we're all going to come together like this and we're going to worship together. I don't think worship's going to look like that going forward, because there are people that are going to watch either through Facebook Live or streaming, or they're going to watch a video of it. I mean, people are going to do it different ways. And I just think that's just, whether we recognize it or not, there was a change in the world that the way people are going to worship. And we were talking about this yesterday in my class. And oh, by the by, yesterday was my last day of class for this class. Very excited about that. But one of the things we talked about was, we kind of think of it in terms, sometimes we're doing a half empty thing here. We think of it in terms of, oh, there are people that don't come to church. And when I say church, in this case, I'm talking about the building. And we don't think about the people that see it in a different way. So someone at New Burlington was telling me their mom always had gone to a friend's church. And she's got to a place in her health that they can get her there, but it takes two or three people. It's very difficult for them to get her out and get her to church. But her church offers a Zoom church. And so she said, if I'm watching my mom that Sunday, she said, Mom and I will watch their church over Zoom. And she said, one of the other things it's done is, some of their congregation has gotten older and moved away, or is in nursing homes where they couldn't come to church anymore. They watch it with them too. So in some ways, it brings them it's a different worship service, but it brings more people together that didn't have the opportunity to do that before. And so for us, I don't want us to always think, well, if people aren't here worshiping with us, if they're watching online or however they choose to do that, it's not the same. Well, it's not the same, but it's a different way of worshiping. And so how do we get through that? And so for us, it's important that we believe our beliefs are true. That what we believe is what we believe, and we know they're to be true. I have to remember something. Okay. Couldn't remember if I said this later or not. And so how do we firm up those beliefs? Well, part of it is we can have worship together, whatever worship together looks like. Part of it is we read the Bible. We read other writings of people that are respected theologians. The guy in the paper that I always read, he was talking today about a verse that he struggles with. He said the version he normally reads, it's where Jesus is talking about, I speak in parables because people hear me, but they don't hear me, and people, they don't listen. And he said that's always bothered him, because he said, to me it seems like Jesus is saying, well, I'm not going to tell him, and I'm holding back something. He said, I went back and looked at the original version, and it really says, because. I speak in parables because they don't listen. Not because they can't, it's because they don't. And so we find those people in our lives that can bring us closer to the Lord. And then we're supposed to share those beliefs with others. So we, at the end, which I think is the most important, is, so then how does that relate to encouragement? And so for us, we're supposed to encourage people to live nobly, in a right way. Now, you can find different people that would say, well, what I'm doing is right, and you could find somebody else that would say what's wrong. But I think most of the time you can go through the Bible and you can figure out what's right and what's wrong. Not very often are we in this gray spot where we go, well, it's kind of okay. If you're saying it's kind of okay, it's probably not okay. Usually things are, for me, I find things to be more black or white. And so we're supposed to encourage each other to do that. And so for us individually, how do we do that? How do we reach out to others and encourage them? Now this, the commentary I used for Barclay, he wrote this in 1955. I don't think he could have ever envisioned a Zoom worship or a Facebook Live worship or, what am I forgetting, Rick, some other YouTube. However, he just, I just can't imagine he could have envisioned that. And so one of the things he says, it's important for us to worship together. I guess what I would tell you is, rethink what together means. Is together mean we're really like physically together, or are we together electronically? Now, because I'm old, I struggle a little bit with the being together electronically. I don't know if I ever told you guys this story. I was speaking to a class at Ball State one day, and it was a marketing class. We were talking about friends and acquaintances and relationships. And I asked them, what kind of close relationships do they have with people? How many friends do you have? And this one girl says, well, I have 500 and some. I said, really? Are these Facebook friends? And she said, yeah. I said, well, I know that we're different age. I probably wouldn't consider those as friends. And she goes, oh yeah, they're my friends. So I told her, so if you were ill and you needed somebody to come to your house and mow the grass or help you with food or help you with your children, one of those 550 would come? She goes, oh no, they wouldn't do that. Well, I'm not really sure they're friends then. Friends are people that will help you. And so for me, because of my heart test things going on, I haven't been able to mow the grass. So my neighbor asked if she could mow it for me, and my best friend from high school asked if he could come over and mow it for me. And now I didn't take him up on it, but that's a friend. That's a real friend. And so for us, when we talk about worshiping together, it probably isn't going to be what it's been for hundreds of years or thousands of years where we come together, but can we figure out a way to make that worship work in a different way than what we're used to? And we're supposed to encourage one another. So how do we do that? Well, I gave you guys some samples when I was talking to the kids. Sometimes, so the two-year-old is having a little trouble. He knows when he's going to go potty. He just doesn't like to be on the potty. And so I don't know how you guys are doing it, but we're using M&Ms because he really likes them. You go on the potty, you get an M&M. You don't go on the potty, no M&Ms. I really like M&Ms, but I don't remember if that was the way I was potty trained or not. And we're not going to talk to my mom and ask her about it. We can send notes. Now, I didn't talk to the kids, but you can also send a text. On my phone, I have two texts where people from previous churches sent me a text as I was changing and wished me well. And so I've kept those because I kept them. Now, I know somebody here could probably tell me there's a way I could save them from my phone, or I don't know how to do that, okay? But I know how not to delete them off my phone. And so just like I said with the cards, sometimes I'll look at those texts. And we can send emails. We have the ability to encourage people so many more ways than we used to. However we do that. And so if you have somebody in your life that you haven't reached out to for a while, and you've got their phone number or text, call them today and just tell them you were thinking about them. What I have found is in times where all of a sudden somebody I haven't seen, and so I'll give you an example. Bill Kaiser, who passed away, was the pastor at Yorktown for probably the first seven years almost that I went there. And one day his name just popped in my head. I have no idea. He'd been gone for 5 or 6 years, and he was way up north in Osceola, somewhere up in there. And I thought, well, I should just call him. Now, the good thing about cell phones is everybody has the same phone number, no matter where you live. And so I just called him, and I said, Bill, I was thinking about you today, and I just wanted to see how you were doing. And he said, well, it's funny you called. His wife was Betty. She said, we've been struggling because she had a stroke, and we're working through getting her out of the nursing home and back home. Well, I hadn't heard that she had a stroke, and I hadn't talked to him for a long time. I think that's God's way of reaching out to me and say, hey, here's somebody that needs to be encouraged today. The question is whether you take the time to do it or you ignore that little voice in your head saying to do it. And with cell phones and texting and emails, it's pretty easy to do. And you know what? If nothing's going on in their lives where they didn't really need to hear you, you got to visit again with somebody that was always important in your life. And it doesn't matter whether it was a couple weeks ago that you saw them or it was years ago, just reach out and do it. It's easy. And it's a way of encouraging. And sometimes I've found, so this might just be me, but sometimes I found when I called to try to encourage someone else, they turned around and encouraged me in a way that I would have never thought they were going to. That wasn't the plan. I thought I was supposed to call and check on them. Apparently, they got the message and they didn't call and check on me, but when I called and checked on them, they checked on me then. And so it's funny the way that God can work in our lives. So this is homework. What's everybody supposed to do this week? And you can encourage more than one person if you want to. Okay, it's not limited, but we're supposed to encourage someone. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful that we could come together this day to worship and to praise you. We're grateful for the encouragement that you give us each and every day, whether it's directly from your voice or from people that you surround us with, to show us how lucky and grateful we should be for your grace and love each and every day. Be with all of us as we go out into your world. Amen.